Speaking today with Christy Thiebout, who is a candidate for City Council at Large Number 2. Christy, why are you running for this office?
It's great to be here. It's nice to be interviewed by you again.
Thank you.
I am running for this office because I think my experience at the state level will help me make Houston a better city. I think my relationships, you know, we're so intertwined with city, state, federal, that I think my relationships will help me leverage some certain things for the city and relationships and maybe even some work on some of the pension funds.
Okay. Let's talk about some of that a little bit. First of all, I mean, you served 2 years as a state representative. How do you think that experience will translate to city council where, you know, in the ledge, of course, you can submit bills and work on them getting passed, and the city council, it's the mayor that drives the bus.
Well, I think that you have to have a great relationship with the mayor, first off. And I think one of the reasons that I was able to become freshman legislator of the year is that I was able to get along well with both sides of the aisle. And I think that as a legislator, as a city council member, listening is a great skill. And the more that you listen, the more that you learn, and you find your niche at City Hall, and hopefully for me it'll be with the parks, because that's the committee that I served on at the state level, that I can bring some expertise into and some focus, because I know with the upcoming budgets, parks are going to be kind of not as much of a priority as other things are, such as public safety.
You know, from your perspective, when you were in Austin, you know, what kind of a relationship does the city have with the state, and do you see opportunities for that to be improved?
Oh, absolutely. I think the challenge is that of the term limits, frankly, with city council, because you're always constantly having to relearn who the council members are. So you are starting new, as the mayor started new in 2011 when she tried to go to the legislature to get some concessions and changes in some of the pension funds. I think that people that served at the legislature and then go to city council can help bridge that and help introduce and bring more things and that we can't bring more items back from Austin and more focus on what our needs are. I just think that the experience and the network of people that I have makes me a little bit of, I don't know, gives me a little bit of a hands up in that aspect.
All right, you talked about parks and pensions. You know, what would you say are your priorities?
My priorities are two things, because as a state representative in my district, which was, you, as you remember, was very diverse demographically and ideological. It's both conservative and very liberal. But bottom line is, everywhere I go, it's public safety and infrastructure. And so I want people, even though crime is down in the city of Houston, people want to see police officers on the street. I get this all the time. People are concerned for their safety, so they want to see more police officers, actually. And number two is infrastructure and flooding. I had three areas in my old district, my own neighborhood, Briarwood Park, Ashford Forest, Royal Oaks, several areas that had flooding and drainage problems where their homes were flooded two or three times within a short period of time. Now, I know we don't have that problem now, but actually with the drought, we have a new problem, and that's water breaks. So we're going to have to spend a lot of time on infrastructure, and I did support the drainage fee, and I'm looking forward to us using that fund in the future to solve some of these problems. But I believe that a great infrastructure can work with the park system. We've done some of that. The county has as well, with the retention ponds and the green areas and connecting bike and hike trails. I think it all works in a wonderful way. And all across the city, there are several big parks. Two come into mind, Memorial and Herman Park, that have their own conservancies that actually help fund and keep the parks beautiful. I'd like to see some of the pocket parks across town, maybe in some of the less economically disadvantaged areas, have a little focus. In my particular area, it was Harwin Park. There's this beautiful little park right next to a church and some businesses that was neglected, but it was well used. And I think bringing together some of my relationships, my partnerships, putting corporations together with park funding, I think we can do some great things all over the city with parks. And I'd like to use that as, that's why I said I'd like to use that as a focus.
Okay. Well, of course, all these things take money, and the city of Houston has been in tough financial times, as have many other levels of government. The recent budget cut about $100 million out, laid 747 people off. What is your assessment of the budget that council passed for this fiscal year?
I'll be honest with you, I can't even say that I've seen the current budget, but I know that 75% of it is used for public safety, police, fire, debt service, and then the rest is basically used for everything else that we do in the city. So I know there's less funding there for parks. That's why I really think that we're going to have to think differently about going forward, about how we use our resources and where we get resources, frankly. So you're going to have to partner and find grants and use corporations and find donations and city money to do some of the things in the parks that I'd like to see done. Find some additional funding, maybe from recycling. I had a great idea from Mike Garver, who's big into the Buffalo Bayou Preservation, that would like to see us eventually start recycling water bottles, plastic water bottles, and maybe a portion of that could go to cities and states. It's definitely a state issue, but it's something where, you know, the city can always get a little 1 cent off of that if we could get that ever passed. But there's just some interesting things that we're going to have to look forward into doing for things like that in our libraries as well that are not funded.
Obviously, everyone hopes that the city's financial picture will improve, and there's some evidence that it's starting to, but if and when that does, do you see the current level of service in the city's budget as being a kind of a new baseline, or do you want to see stuff get restored as the financial resources allow it?
Well, absolutely. I'd like to see some of the things restored. Number one is that we've had to cut over 700 jobs, so you can only imagine that service hours at libraries have been cut, but personnel, I mean, the city is really about employing people. I mean, that's a big thing of what they do, but those people provide vital services for us. So, you know, 311 might be slower or less libraries because we don't have enough librarians to man those places. So, yeah, of course we'd like to see us ramp back up to the normal level of service that we're used to. I mean, you can't only imagine when you cut over 700 people that, and especially if they don't come from police and fire, that city services are going to suffer. And so we want our city to be a first-class city, and people can utilize all the things out there to them, community service centers and such.
Okay. You've already answered a question that I like to ask about the drainage fee. You said you supported it.
Absolutely.
You voted for it.
I voted for it.
You know, what's your assessment of how the rollout has gone?
Well, a little bumpy. I think when the message got out that it was going to be $5, no more than $5, I think some people expected your fee to be $5. And I think that if you look at the language about impervious cover and all the different things that roll into that, you'll understand. But overall, I still think people are very supportive of it, whether it's $5, $6, $7. You know, I think per month, mine is actually, I think what I checked was probably more than the average homeowner in my area because I have a lot of impervious cover. We're all getting to know what impervious cover is. But people in my neighborhood, and I live in a very conservative part of town, which you would think, you know, people tell me, oh, they're against it. And I'm like, no, they're not. If you've ever had flooding problems, if you say that a certain fee is designated and it can only go to drainage, people tend to be more supportive of that fee. Now, it's when you get into trouble with people is when, number one, two things, actually, when you say it's going to cost something and it doesn't really cost that. I think that the mayor, though, has done a really great job of fixing that and doing everything she can. And then number two is if you start raiding that fund. People get really upset. The state's been, you know, the perfect example of what not to do, of constantly raiding the sports tax fund and then the system benefit fund for other uses. That's when you get into trouble. If you keep that fee specific for drainage and infrastructure, people will be okay with paying it. I mean, it did pass. Remember that. Maybe narrowly, but it did pass.
All right. And, you know, the other referendum that was on the ballot last year was the red light camera referendum. Did you vote to keep the red light cameras or get rid of them?
I voted actually to support the red light cameras because of my knowledge of what goes on. People want to see police officers on the street patrolling, fighting crime, not stopping people from running red lights and spending their time doing that. But I will say this, that the voters have spoken, and I do agree that if that's what happened, regardless of whether it should be on the ballot or not, the people have spoken, we need to stop the red light cameras.
Okay. How would you assess Mayor Parker in her first term in office?
Well, I never agree with anybody 100% of the time, but I think she's done an excellent job, and she's a wonderful role model for women in this city. And I think the way that she's handled herself specifically with the big prayer event, is admirable. And I would hope that we have other city leaders that are as good as she is.
What would you like her priorities to be for the next 2 years?
Well, I could never speak for the mayor and what her priorities are going to be, but I think that she's shown her priorities to be the drainage fee and making sure the infrastructure in the city is great, and also historic preservation seems to be one of her big movements. And but I'm a big believer in public safety and infrastructure. Those are the things that I know were important in my district and continue to be throughout the city of Houston.
You mentioned pensions a couple times in this interview. You've spent some time looking at this. What, you know, obviously the city's long-term pension obligations, everyone agrees, is a big liability. What, you know, what do you foresee, and how would you go about dealing with it?
Well, I think there's been a lot of reform with the one pension that the city actually has some input on, which is Municipal Employees Fund. It's not where it needs to be, but it gets better all the time, and I think they've done a great job over there of trying to change how they operate. And I think that where changes are probably going to have to be made are fire and police. But I think that they have to come to the table, because to do some of the things that are going to need to happen, it's going to have to be the state that handles who sits on some of these boards and other certain things. But if you can't, the one thing that you must do is you have to get police and fire to agree to something, and then you have to get the Harris County delegation to agree to something, and then it will pass at the legislature. But at every different, it won't work unless everybody's in agreement, because if you go to the legislature, there's a million different ways to kill a bill, and if everybody's not in agreement, it's more than likely that nothing is going to happen, and frankly, nothing happening in the city of Houston is not the solution.
All right, I mean, the mayor has appointed a committee to look at this. You know, what, I mean, other than trying to bring everybody to the table, what's your, you know, what would you like to see them try to do?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure right now, because some of the changes that I originally thought that might be good, actually I don't think are so good anymore, which is, number one, changing new employee status, maybe changing them over to a defined plan, and actually having no new employees come in is going to make the city pay a lot of money up front. And so I'm not sure that's a solution either. But also I have to say, on the flip side, fire actually told me something that I didn't know when I went to go interview with them, which is it's sort of been out there that if you're 40 or 45 that you can start receiving your full pension, and that's not true. You actually don't get benefits until you're past the age of 50, and that was something that I learned along the trail. So I continue to learn about these pensions, and like I said, I've been reading a lot of Bill King's articles, following what he has to say, but I really want to have a conversation with Bill Miller. He had a great article and mentioned in the Austin American Statesman about successful pensions like the teachers retirement system and the state employee system. And so those funds are actually 80% funded, and they perform better than most pensions do, and they cost less to administer. So I'd like for us to look at what is it that makes those pension funds successful. I'm a big believer in not reinventing the wheel. Let's look at something that's successful, and let's try and duplicate it if possible.
All right. And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to make you the next council member in at-large number two?
I think going forward that you need two things. You need somebody that has some experience dealing with the legislature and that has the network that I have, because it's great when you can pick up a phone and call somebody and get a response. I mean, that's just a necessary tool these days. And the second thing is that I think that I work well with everyone. I try not to alienate everyone. I try to come up with a solution and compromise. I don't think compromise is a bad word. I think that when somebody doesn't get everything they want, that's a good thing. It's called compromise. And so the way that I used to legislate as a legislator was I brought everybody in to the table. We'd write a piece of legislation and something that everybody could live with. And that's just the way that I operate. I'm not flashy. I don't talk a lot at council, or I won't talk a lot at council. And I think I'm just mild-mannered, but my door is always open to anybody, even if you disagree with me, because eventually I know that we will find something that we'll agree on.
All right, Christy Thibaut, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.